To this Neighbourhoods and Community Wellbeing Scrutiny Committee. I'm just going to make an announcement that this meeting will be recorded and the sound recording subsequently made available via the Council's website. Please also note that under the Openness of Local Government Bodies Regulations 2014, that other people may film, record, tweet or blog from this meeting. The use of any images or sound recordings is not under the Council's control. Okay, we'll just move to item one, which is apologies.
Councillor Parton and Councillor Gerrard is subbing for him.
Cheers. Thank you very much. Item two, we have minutes of the previous meeting, which I have here. Can I take it as a true record of the previous meeting? We're all in agreement. Thank you.
Chair, I'd just like to bring to the committee's attention that the minutes of the previous meeting, although you did agree the minutes from the 9th of July, are actually not noted in the notes. So if it's okay with the committee, I will note in this meeting that those minutes have been agreed also.
I think we're happy with that. Thank you. Item three is disclosures of pecuniary and personal interests. I don't see any. Item four is declarations of the party whip. No declarations have been made, which brings us to item five, questions under Scrutiny Committee Procedures 11.16, and no questions were submitted. Next is item six, which is the 2019-2020 Quarter 2 Performance and Monitoring Report. And before we take this report, I just wanted to make committee aware that we will take all three reports that have been proposed to us today in 6, 7 and 8 as being read by committee members. And then I'll just open the floor up to questions and any questions that you might have to see give either clarifications or ask questions on the substantial report themselves. So if we're happy with that, I'll move to item six, which is 2019-20 Quarter 2 Performance and Monitoring Report. Does anybody have any questions on this report? Okay, I'll start then. I've got one question. There's two actually... red indicators on here. The rest of them are green or amber or have not started yet. I think the second of the two reds on our paper is, we've got a paper on that later on about the recycling, so I think any questions related to that we can leave to that paper. I think it addresses the similar concerns. But the first red there, if somebody could let us know how the progress is happening since this report was taken up. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. It's Matt Bradford, Head of Cleansing and Open Spaces. Yes, the indicator concerns the visitor centre at the Outwoods that is currently red at the moment. A planning application was submitted in June of this year, and as a result of that application, we had a number of comments back from the Highways Authority with regard to the location of the visitor centre and the need to undertake some further traffic studies and reports on the visibility splays for the entrance to the Outwoods. Pleased to report that those reports have now been completed and have been submitted to County Highways today. Subject to turnaround times, that the planned application will be considered in either December or January Plans Committee.
Okay, thank you very much. I think I'm happy with that response. I'd rather we get things done properly and safely because visiting the Outwoods and visiting that particular car park, the road is narrow, so visibility displays are definitely needed coming in and out of that car park. And I think it's to be commended that we're taking a slow approach, but the steady and right approach. And for once, I can't be critical of that. Thank you. Any further questions on anything in this paper? Thank you very much. We'll move on to item seven, which is a paper which we've asked for, which is the leisure provision and performance. With us, we have Sylvia Wright, who is Head of Leisure and Culture. And so if we have any questions to her regarding anything in this report, please go ahead. Okay, so I've got a couple of questions. First one is regarding the town hall. And then I'll come on to the Leisure Centre, so if I can take it in that order. Thank you very much for the information on the Town Hall. It looks like it's very successful. more successful than when I first became a councillor, and it wasn't in the financial condition that it is now. But I do have a concern that we're subsidising it by a quarter of £1 million a year still. I don't know how that subsidy relates to for previous years, because it's the first time I've seen a report for quite some time. And my second thing is that we're nearly spending £600,000-£700,000 on costs that aren't detailed or broken down any further. And I'd like to know what that substantial is made out of, so we can have an idea of actually where we could potentially save money in overheads, or is it that we continuously will be subsidising? You know, it's a fantastic building, the town hall, provides a good service and brings a lot of income into the town centre. I understand all that, but in these times of austerity, and if we can reduce that subsidy, that'd be great.
Thank you. Sylvie Wright, responding to question. In terms of the overall level of subsidy, last year, obviously, we had the full-year budget was £302,300. We actually came in at £275,151. I think what I would say is that I don't ever envisage the town hall not needing subsidy. Any kind of facility of this nature up and down the country, if we benchmark, the town hall is still performing really well in terms of its level of subsidy and the programme that it provides to the community. There are projects that, like the Panto, which is the special Panto for the people with special needs, really, that are very nice to have but are essential in terms of delivering the town hall services as a whole, and to make sure that everyone has access to those events like the Panto that are very popular. We continue to look at reducing the level of subsidy, and there are a lot of initiatives in place to do that. What the approach that we've taken is, rather than reduce the... if we start to reduce the overheads, then we can't generate the level of income. So it's about getting that balance right and using our resources as effectively as possible to generate more income, and that's the approach that we've taken. And that approach is working, and we expect to deliver certain initiatives to continue driving that income level up, if that helps. One of the big things that we're tied into is that, obviously, all the staffing contracts and level of payments are basically, we have to follow the council's payment structures. Some other entertainment venues are allowed to or do pay their staff a lot less. But I think we get excellent value for money, and the satisfaction levels demonstrated show that people are getting good customer service. And if you actually look at the cost of the town hall and all it delivers, it is good value for money. There's the secondary spend element as well. The town hall brings in car parking income. It brings in footfall to the town. So we see it as retail is depleting in the town centre. Facilities like the town hall are becoming more and more important to the town. So I think in terms of, we have to look at it in that perspective as well.
Yes, thank you. Any further questions? Properly.
Thank you, Chair. Sylvia, just one question on page 29, point 3. I can see you've broken down the revenue into five areas. Under shows, merchandise and sponsorship and hires and events, can you clarify further how that sort of works out? Just because I'm a theatre goer myself, and obviously I try and come along to as many shows as I can. But is that local groups using it for shows? Is that more national scale shows we host, just for, you know, for an idea of the sort of people who are using the facility. Thank you.
Of course, sorry. Basically, the majority of money within that line, income line, is shows that we buy in. So when we buy in those shows, we work to the contracts and fixed ticket prices mainly that come with those shows. So that figure represents box office take-ins for those shows. What we do, we don't take any show that we don't think will deliver a profit. So we carefully look at the deal, and to date, nearly every show that we took last year actually delivered a profit, as far as I know. It is something that the team are very rigorous at, and it all depends on the deal and what's out there in the market in terms of that level of income. So it can go up sometimes and then go down. In terms of shows that are done by our amateur dramatic companies that use, and we've got five of those that that regular book the town hall, they come under the hire of events. So basically, we don't take the ticket income. The ticket income goes to the company. They actually take all the risk. So they hire the venue, and they hire some of the services, and we charge all the staffing costs against that. So the company come in, deliver their show, take the ticket sales, and we get a profit from that. That's how it works.
Any further questions on the town hall? I just wanted to ask Councillor Lee Harper-Davis, the lead member, who's attending today, and thank you very much, Lee, for coming. The subsidy this financial year gone was £275,000, which is below the budget of £300,000. I understand that, and it's good. But going forward and knowing the council's financial pressures that it does face and the savings that we have to make, is this something that we should be looking at to actually see if we can lower or reduce those overheads further? And is that something that you've discussed with the officers? Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Mayor. It's really Councillor Boker's question, because it's not really my remit. I can't help you with that. But I think from a common sense perspective, and that's something that we'd always should be looking at, and I would advocate that whatever service it's area it is. Yeah.
Cheers. Thank you very much. I had one further question on Leisure Centre. If there's no further question on the Town Hall, can I move on to that one? Committee. Thank you.
Councillor Mayor, would you like me to ask that question of Boker, Councillor Boker?
You could do, yes. Yeah. But I'm happy with Councillor
Hoff. I'm happy to pass on to.
So on the Leisure Centre contract, I believe we are coming to the end or near the end of the current existing contract. And on the report itself, it says the three leisure centres that are run by Fusion and provide an income to us. I had a query of because the paper presents it as a fait accompli that we're going to go for the extension. And I just wanted to ask Sylvia if we had discussed within your group looking at what the market may offer again, and if we have, why aren't we going back to the market, for example, or why do we think Fusion would be best to carry on? Thank you.
We have undertaken a study by Max Associates to look at our current contract and how that is operating within the market. The findings indicate that Fusion, we have a very good contract with Fusion, but we're still in the process of writing up, responding to that report, finalising that report, and subsequently we will be taking a paper to Cabinet outlining the options that we've looked at and what recommendations we would give. The contract that we have with Fusion, and I think mainly because it is a charity, and there's a lot of money that's been invested back into the centre. It does allow the centre to perform well, and we have got maintenance with the contract as well as an income fee. So we consider it a very positive, a very good contract.
Councillor Lee Harper-Davis.
Thank you, Councillor Mayor. I was at the presentation where Lisa from Max Associate presented the data, and I was astounding. And in my role from a procurement perspective, I've sort of gained along the journey quite a lot, or significant amount of experience now. And I was astounded at the amount of detail that this lady from Max Associates went into. And I think, I mean, I left after 2 hours. I had another meeting. I'm sure you were there for probably 3 hours, but there isn't anything. There's no stones left unturned. And I don't think anything from a procurement process when we're going out to contract should ever be a fait accompli, because we cannot be in the position to be in fait accompli, because we don't really know what the marketplace is. And any decision taken will be the right decision because of the evidence base that is the new contract will be based on. Thank you.
Thank you. I just had one further comment on the Ledge Centre, and that's to do with, I think we, at last full council, Councillor Julia Bradshaw, she brought up a question regarding the maintenance and upkeep, I think, of the boiler of the swimming pool, and I think she has an interest in swimming, and that's why she brought it up. And is that something that you're going to be looking at, considering actually if we have had issues in the past, how is that going to be addressed going forward in any new extension or any further contract or any further market testing? Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Mayor. I'll answer that as well. It was actually the pump that went, and we had to wait for a long time for the pump. In that particular instance, it was on order. But it's also a difficult one, because the water temperature is the water temperature, and some swimmers like it warm, some like cooler. So you can't really... We have to keep it at a certain level, because that's what we have to do. But we can assure you that, you know, everything goes wrong, it is an address and will be put right, but just sometimes in that instance it took a bit longer. But I'm happy to for Sylvia to answer in any more depth.
Yes, I confirm that we actually have all got the parts now, and that problem is being addressed. In terms of monitoring the maintenance of the contract, there's a very thorough process in place, and basically they have a certain period to respond as set out in the contract. Normally, any delay is something that's beyond their control. Normally, the actual issues are dealt with swiftly and within the contract requirements.
Thank you very much. Councillor Amsel.
Thank you, Chair. Is the swimming pool up to capacity, you know, for people using it? Or is it, you know, or is there times when it's not used? I just wondered.
We've had a recent study as part of the built facilities that sets out all of our swimming pools and what capacity they're currently running at. And while I say there is current capacity in our swimming pools, there's different times when there's a lot of demand. So although the capacity isn't at full capacity continually, we do have figures for that, and they're already kind of identified within the report. We have a very, very active and growing swim school, so sometimes there are clashes, but as a whole, the pools are very well managed, and you know, we work within the capacities that we have.
Yeah. The reason I asked, Chair, is if Charnwood College shut their pool, more people would be looking for somewhere else to go, you see. So so we're well capable of filling that gap then, so to speak.
The report that I referred to, the built facilities for strategy, does allow for closures of certain pools in terms of our calculations of when, you know, what gaps we have. We've got different scenarios of how many schools, because schools, obviously, we projected that schools would be closing because of costs involved in running those pools. and the area that there is there would be a deficit as the population grows is in the pay and play sector. So we've got all the figures for that.
Any further questions? Sorry, Councillor Gerrard.
Thank you, Chair. I got my papers last night, so. But with growing population, any ideas on having more swimming pools or making the ones we've got bigger, please?
There is a proposal to have a learner pool within South Charnwood as an addition, but that's in years to come. It's not a proposal that's currently being recommended, but basically that would allow us to free up the main pool and manage that usage of the pool, but that is kind of when, you know, looking at further population growth and, you know, with certain pools closing.
Thank you, Councillor Gerrard. Any further questions on this part, item 7? If not, we'll move on. And thank you very much, Sylvia, for attending. And I think Councillor Lee Harper-Davis, you're staying to the end anyway. Thank you. And we've got item 8, which is now improving waste and recycling performance. I did allude to an indicator being read earlier in one of the earlier reports. And we have a paper on this one. That's why I didn't ask any questions, or I think committee members may have not asked any questions regarding it. So if we kick off with that indicator here, is that okay? I'm going to ask the officer, I think Matt, you're going to take the paper, is that okay, to explain that indicator to us here, and then we can ask further questions on the paper. That's great. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. It's Matt Bradford, Head of Cleansing and Open Spaces. So the particular performance indicator that we're looking at, it compares the whole of the waste that we collect, household waste that we collect throughout the borough, and looks at the percentage of that waste that's either collected as dry recycling in the recycling bin, or is composted, and in Charnwood that's exclusively through the garden waste bin. So there is a national target that was set by an EU waste framework directive to collect 50% of the waste that we collect should either be recycled or composted by 2020. Now, obviously, as the report points out, that we are currently missing that target, and time is running out, as it were. And members of this committee will know that I report regularly on this indicator and provide an explanation as to why we're not hitting that target. We did consider a few times as to whether the target was achievable and whether we should drop that target to a more realistic figure, but we felt that as that was the national target for local authorities to hit, that should be maintained, and we should accept that that's where we need to get to and report our performance against it. And the report that you have in front of you sort of breaks that performance down into dry recycling and garden waste and looks at which particular areas we are maybe performing well, areas that we're not performing well, and make some suggestions of how that could be improved.
Thank you very much. Any questions on the paper? If not, I've got one paper on how we may improve, and that's to do with collecting food waste. And I think there was some discussion before we had our elections in May, our borough elections in May, about potentially collecting food waste from households. But I don't know if we've advanced any further and what are the thoughts there? Because we're not far off. We're at 45-ish%. And maybe this is one of the ways that we could bump ourselves up to 50%. And some of the leading councils are doing it at 59% recycling, for example. So how do we bridge that gap? And I understand you've given a lot of content in there, but what's on the horizon that we can expect?
Yes, food waste is quite an interesting topic, really, and it is something that an increasing number of councils are doing at the moment. As the report highlights, a few years ago we did look at food waste collection on a county-wide basis, and the costs were modelled on an authority by authority level, with a view to hitting the 50% recycling target that we've talked about. And that highlighted varying outcomes across the county. The outcome for Charnwood at that time was that it would cost us an extra £700,000 a year in revenue, and that modelling would involve us extending our frequency of residual waste collections to 3 weeks, which is not something that every householder would welcome. So with the costs as they are, and that being predicated on an extended collection frequency for residual waste, we sort of left that as it were, as you like. So it's true that food waste would improve our performance, and indications from sort of the Waste and Resources Action Partnership, which is a government-sponsored organisation, indicates that we'd get probably about 1.5 kilograms per household per week. So if we did introduce a weekly food waste collection and we achieved those yields, that would take us to about 54% of a recycling rate. So it is something that would improve the rate, but obviously it is quite cost prohibitive at the moment. I've estimated the cost of weekly food waste collections whilst maintaining a fortnightly residual waste collection to be in excess of £1 million, and the capital costs to be between somewhere between £1 million and £1.4 million for bins to be rolled out. Now, the Waste and Resources Strategy for the government was released last December, and that indicated that the government is going to mandate for weekly food waste collections from 2023, and that then formed part of the Environment Bill that received its first reading in the House of Commons earlier this year. So the government are looking to make authorities to collect food waste essentially from 2023, and the indications are that they will fund any new commitments is the way that it's been written. So hopefully if that's true, then we will receive both the revenue and capital costs in order to roll that out, and our recycling performance would improve as a result of that.
Thank you very much for that answer. I do note, though, that we, I think Scrutiny Commission are setting up a panel to look at this aspect of it. And I think several members of this committee may be on that panel as well. And I think there is a chance for committee members potentially to go and visit the recycling centre to see what is being done and how Charnwood's recycler is being processed. And I think, is that an opportunity open to all committee members, or is it just a panel or both? Can you clarify?
Yes, I've been in conversation with the County Council, who have a contract with a materials recycling facility, and they take our recycling, sort it and sell it on, basically. So they are willing to have a visit from a cohort of members from the Council to explain how it works and how their thoughts on how we might improve recycling. So that would be open to this panel and the Tascam Finnish group of members that have been set up to have a member-led investigation into improving recycling rates. So I'm sure we could accommodate people from both panels, if you like.
Fantastic. Councillor Lee Harper-Davis.
Thank you, Chair. And I would really welcome people to go along to CasePack. It's really interesting. I don't think anyone will ever moan about our jobs again when you go and see how hard those people work.
Thank you. Would members of the panel, members of the committee find it useful to go? Is that okay? I think, Matt, if you can organise that for us and send invites and dates and when, we'd be more than happy to go along and have a look at that process. Because if nothing else, that will just increase our knowledge of what happens, and we can ask people there what they think as well, and look at the end product, what the end is of all the waste that goes into our green bins, or recycling that goes into our green bins, I should say.
Yes, thank you, Chair. It's Matt Bradford again. The visit is likely to be scheduled in February, if that's okay. The plant is very busy post-Christmas as recycling yields go up, so it's likely to be sometime in February, which I think fits quite neatly with the timeline for the Tascam Finnish group to conclude their work as well.
I think, is there any further questions on the paper? Councillor Brooks.
Yes, thank you. I have got a couple of questions. So the first one hopefully is quite nice and simple. How much of our food waste can currently be taken in to the composting side, i.e. vegetable peelings, etc.? I assume that is one thing that can be done quite easily straight away.
Yes, on the composting side, it's mainly uncooked peelings that people can put into their garden waste, and that can be processed through open windrow processing. It's where you get other cooked foods that isn't ideal for that particular process, and we can't handle that really.
On our website as well, what you can put in there.
So have you noticed any increase, or should I say decrease, in the percentage of recycling through the composting since we've increased the price of the bins for those as well?
Not really noticed a decrease in the tonnages that we collect. The subscriber numbers have stagnated a little bit over recent months, I think it's fair to say. But the waste that we collect hasn't really gone down, the garden waste arisings. But that can depend on quite a number of different factors and not necessarily the number of subscribers. So if I take you back to not the summer just gone, the one before, it was incredibly dry for an extended period of time, and the garden waste arising sort of dropped off a cliff for about 10 weeks. Whereas this summer we had mixed weather, ideal growing conditions for grass, and the yields go up. So garden waste yields aren't really an indication of participation in the scheme. There are sort of competing factors there that affect the amount of waste that we collect.
So you've alluded to the cost per tonnage for dry recycling versus residual waste, and that you've estimated that it would cost the council approximately £700,000 to implement the extra bin. But what would be the cost saving, as the residual waste per tonne is £110 versus the dry recycling at £30 if we were to hit our targets?
There would be a cost saving from diverting black bin waste into food waste, but that saving doesn't arise to us. So the saving to this authority would be zero, because the Waste Disposal Authority would realise those savings. So there is a saving. Unfortunately, since the removal of recycling credit payments, there isn't an incentive for us, financial incentive. There's a moral incentive, obviously. There isn't a financial incentive where we can do a business case on an investor save basis through improving our recycling rate. So that's quite a difficult conundrum to unpick for us, really.
Councillor Howe.
Thank you, Chair. I'd just like to say I got an email this afternoon asking me to go on the waste management panel. So thank you for producing this, because this can give us a good start on it. Because I've only looked at it briefly, but it, at the end of the day, we can improve by a few percentages, but it might be possible that the cost is so high it's not worth doing, isn't it? You know what I mean? That's our judgment to make. But generally, the closer you get towards the target, the more expensive it comes. I mean, personally, I would sooner go to Derby Dales and Northampton's waste and see why they've got a higher percentage, because they all think, if they've done the work, what's the secret of their success? Why start from the ground and, you know, go up? So I'm sure when we have the panel, we'll consider things like that. But thank you for the report.
If I can through you, Chair, I can save you a trip to Derby Dales, if you like. I do believe they have a free garden waste collection service, and they collect food waste on a weekly basis. So I've worked at an authority where we had a 58% recycling rate, and it was based almost entirely on the composting. Actually, the garden waste arisings were huge, and we did food waste, and the dry recycling performance was below average, third quartile. So it just goes to show really how these figures can be distorted. And when I turn up every quarter and say, sorry, we're not hitting the target, it doesn't give the full picture. We're actually performing really well on dry recycling as an authority. It is the composting side of things where other councils outperform us, and there are reasons for that.
If there's no further questions, I take it that we note this report now, bearing in mind that this is a panel that's going to be... Councillor.
Thank you, Chair. Councillor Mayer. I think having task and finish panels is a really good idea, and I think it's really good for us to be able to, whatever service area we are at, to actually scrutinise and work as a critical friend to improve the services that we offer. But I think the beauty of a report that comes to the table like this, whether it's just for the task and finish panel or for scrutiny itself, is we always need to do better. I think what this report does highlight is how well we are doing. You know, yes, every time we come to the table with a ready indicator of the recyclers, because we're solving recycling, not doing food waste and not free garden waste. I think it makes you realise, when you actually look at the tables, how well we are doing. And I think, yes, there's always room for improvement, but I think we also need to say we are doing well. And this is what I think the realisation in this report too. And I'm sure they look forward to the outcomes of the task and finish panel. Thank you.
Cheers. Thank you, Councillor Lee Harper-Davis. So we will note this report, because I think that's what we've been asked to do. I'm not going to ask for it to come back, because I think the scrutiny task and finish panel will report to the scrutiny commission, and then if there are any recommendations or a paper, we'll go to cabinet, and then we can have a look at that paper if we needed to. But if we're happy with that, we can leave that as it is. Is that okay? Cheers. Thank you very much. Thank you. Very good paper. All right. We move on to item 9, which is our work programme. And this is usually where our chief executive helps us plan our work programme. we will give him a hand today, because it's his first meeting. Thank you very much. We have our next meeting on the 10th of March. And I believe we have 3 items come into that, and potentially a fourth, but 3 items come in. We've got one, it's Children and Families Wellbeing Services. That's the first item. And I think we're in agreement that this was put on our work programme when this committee was formed after the reorganisation of scrutiny. And I've spoken to the Vice-Chair and officers on this as well. And I think the best course of action, because it was put on our, is to ask for a short paper report to this March meeting, so we can find out exactly how this service impacts Charnwood and what the impacts are. I believe it is a county council service, but how it impacts Charnwood and its relationship and how our officers relate to that service. And without knowing that background, I don't think we can scrutinise it any further or anything. Would we be in agreement with that?
Thank you. Through you, Chair. Rob Mitchell, Chief Exec. Yes, I'd be happy to endorse that approach, Chair. I think it's an important service. It's delivered by our partners through the County Council, so the approach you've suggested, in order for them to give you a brief paper to familiarise yourselves with it, would be a good, sensible way forward. Thank you.
Thank you very much. And then item 2 is our performance indicators, which is standard, and we get them to our committee, so we can leave that on there. It's an annual item, so it'll be at the end. And then another standard item, which comes every 6 months, is the Community Safety Partnership, which last time presented to us was a fantastic paper showing crime going down in Charnwood, and I'd like to see if that trend had gone down, so we can keep that. And I think we have to keep that on the work programme, but it's timetabled for March. Are there anything else that we need to have a look at before March, or is there anything else that we've missed out? Councillor Brooks.
The only thing I'd like to draw to the attention of this committee is the bulky waste charge and the review of that.
Yes, thank you very much. Yes, I do believe we still have Matt Bradford with us. If you can explain that to us, so members are aware, committee members are aware of what it is that we're going to put. But I think that will be for potentially July.
Thank you, Chair. Yes, as part of the part of the decision to introduce a charge for bulky waste, we did commit to undertaking a 6-month review. So 6 months of operation would be at the end of March, start of April. So I would suggest that we add that to the work programme for the July meeting, and I'll be able to conduct that review and bring a paper to that meeting.
Cheers, thank you very much. So we'll include that into our work programme into July. Are there anything members would like included, or anything that we haven't covered? I'd like to make a suggestion, because obviously we only meet 4 times a year, is that if you do have something that you think the committee should look at, email myself and Matt Brooks, the Vice Chair, and we can discuss with officers whether to put it into the work programme. So it is in there, so you don't think, actually, this is a good idea, and by the time we come, it's March, and before we look at it, it's July, for example, or it could be later on in the work programme. So if you do come across anything in the council that you want us to look at, the scrutiny committee to look at, please do ping the email, and I think it might work quite well that way. Thank you. I've got Nikki Conway to come in.
Through you, Chair. Bit loud. I just wanted to draw your attention to the actions requested and see whether the committee would consider adding the Charnwood Lottery to the scrutiny work programme. When you considered it in July, you did verbally discuss putting that on your work programme in 6 months' time, but it has been missed off the work programme in error, so I'm wondering whether you want to add that back in.
Yes, I think we had that report, and it was so early in the lottery's life cycle, and I think the plan was to build up to 1,000 ticket holders over a period of time, and we would look at it, and I think July might be a good appropriate time to look at it. If we are all happy with that one, we can put it into July's work programme. Cheers, thank you. If there's nothing further, I'd like to thank everybody for coming, and happy Christmas. Merry Christmas.
Yeah. Wow. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chair.
Cheers.